In ways that we've never experienced before, with the lights off and the electricity gone, there's been a power failure on this entire line. So I will work hard on making our service as short and sweet as we can in consideration of all those things. But thank you for continuing to love Christ even through these kinds of minor trials, and to focus on that which really matters. It's not our comforts, but it's that we are together by His grace. We have breath by His grace. And so as Christians, we have an attitude of gratefulness, isn't it? We don't look at things that we don't have. We look at how much we have that we don't deserve. And that drives our singing, I think, this morning. I could hear it. I could hear it in a better way without the blowers going, that you loved Christ in the way in which you sang, in the way in which you prayed. So, praise God. We're going to have now the Sunday school for those kids that want to benefit from that. And so the Sunday school teachers are waiting upstairs. And if you're parents that have little ones, you can take them upstairs right now. And there are some teachers that are going to take them through a Bible lesson. Just so you know, we're taking the kids through Bible lessons that start with Genesis and move all the way to Revelation, wanting to teach them the whole of Scripture in all its fullness, in all its wisdom, and focusing always on one thing, the Gospel. And so be praying. I was talking with the Sunday school teachers about why we do this, and they were saying we do this because we want to see Christ save these kids. And so be praying that God would use these times, and He would use the teachers for the glory and the exaltation of Christ in little ones' lives. Amen? We're talking about Romans. And Romans is the Gospel. And there's nothing more foundational and more sweet for Christians to think about than the Gospel of Jesus Christ. It's very interesting that Paul is writing to a church, knowing that this church is composed of primarily believers. And he's still writing to them to speak to them about the Gospel. Because the moment you stray away from the Gospel, the moment you stop thinking about the grace of God, which is the only reason why you live, the only reason why you have life, the only reason why you have ministry, you will stop being fruitful. I think that's really what Jesus was saying when he said, I am the vine and you are the branches, and apart from me you can do nothing. Jesus is the Gospel, isn't he? I mean, the Gospel isn't just some truth. The Gospel is the person of Jesus Christ and all that he is and all that he has done. And if we ever forget that truth, that all that Jesus is and all that he has done enables us to live, you will stop being fruitful as a Christian. You will cease having joy. You will cease having productivity. And so the Gospel is not just for unbelievers. The Gospel is for us. By the way, I just want to give you a quick word of just encouragement. Don't be embarrassed to pick up the songbooks and use them as a fan, okay? I noticed some of you coming up sheepishly and saying, am I sinning? No, you're not, okay? Don't be embarrassed. If you're warm, if you're hot, do whatever you need to get cool, alright? I'm not distracted. In fact, I'm less distracted knowing that you're comfortable listening to God's Word. The Gospel enables us to be fruitful. And we've been looking at that even in the beginning of the book of Romans, before Paul gets to the person of Jesus Christ, before he gets to the message of the Gospel, he talks about, even in the beginning, the fruit that the Gospel has created in terms of relationships that we have with each other. And he's talked about this great bond, this great unity that God produces, which I trust you pinch yourselves every time you experience it, with strangers even. From different tribes, from different languages, different colors of skin, that you can meet, and because they know the same Jesus and they're saved by the same grace, they're your brothers, they're your sisters. And the affection that has been created in those kinds of relationships is indescribable. It's beyond anything that you experience in this life, because it's from heaven. Have you experienced those kinds of immediate connections immediate relationships, even with strangers. I am blessed by that. Every time I travel and go and sit down with a brother who can't even speak a word of Hindi in Orissa, and he's giving me, you know, this goat that probably was his only goat, and he's made this curry out of it, and he's serving me, and he's ministering to me, and I don't know why he loves me, but I know he loves me because of Christ. Because there's nothing in me that's lovable. And it's just amazing to be sitting in that village and to know Christ is this powerful in the gospel. And so Paul wants to really help us, even before we get to the message of the gospel, be motivated by just the power of the gospel. That causes you to not be ashamed, isn't it? And one of the real practical, powerful effects of the gospel is that it has put us in a kind of relationship, a kind of unity that the world can never capture. Now, we talked last time about love. We have love for one another because of the gospel. But sometimes love can be a very abstract thing, right? What is love? We fall in love. We fall out of love. It's a bunch of, you know, oozy-goozy feelings that go down your spine and down your leg and tingles and pokes and all these different things. But actually, biblically, that's very little to do with love. That's maybe a small part of love. The emotions, the feelings. But love, biblically, is defined, first of all, again, in the gospel. I can't move away from the gospel. It's defined by the gospel, the verse that maybe we overuse too much, but yet it's so precious. John 3:16. God so loved the world, and it defines it, that He did what? That He gave. That He served. That He committed actions of service and sacrifice towards us. Most supremely, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which we never stop singing about. And then in small ways, even in our relationships with each other, we cannot say that we love one another if we don't sacrifice. If we don't serve. If we don't give our time, our lives, our money, our resources, our clothes, our food. It goes from the small things to the big things. If we don't love one another in that way. The emotions are a very small part, actually, of biblical love. They are there. They are there. But they're produced by this sense of sacrifice and just gladly saying, all that I am is for you, brother. All that I am is for you, sister. And as we grow in those kinds of relationships, people see Jesus. Because that's what Jesus is. Isn't it amazing? The glorious Son of God, who deserves all glory, who deserves all worship. And we just did that a little bit this morning. He gave Himself for us. You should be so amazed and struck by the wonder of that truth that you should just say, hey, every day I want to just be a reflection of Jesus with my brother, with my sister. And so the gospel makes us servants. And a church that is like this is a church that is filled with Christ. It's that practical. That's what Paul wants us to see. And I'm just stuck with these truths in the beginning of this book. Before we get to the message, he wants us to be motivated by how powerful this message is. Because I think sometimes as Christians we've lost confidence in just how life-changing the gospel is, isn't it? Because we're so blinded by our sin, by our selfishness, that we need to be reminded again through the life of Paul, through the attitudes of Paul. The gospel changes selfish people like you and me and makes us like Jesus Christ. We give of ourselves. We need to be seeing that more and more, right? In this world, especially in light of what's been going on in Delhi. And one of the tragedies about not just the selfishness of how that girl was killed and died was also the selfishness later on of society as she and her friend lay dying on that road. And for about 45 minutes, people were driving, stopping, looking at these two people bleeding on the road, and then moving away because they didn't want to get involved. And I look at that and I say, Lord, is that an indication of my heart even? I mean, I don't want to just condemn those people. But do I do that kind of thing? Because the Bible tells me sometimes I do that kind of thing with my brother and sister. I see somebody in need and I walk away. And I say, be warmed and be filled. And Jesus isn't enough in me. Unless I weep with those who weep. Unless I'm moved by those who are afflicted, right, in the church. I think that's what Paul is saying for us, Romans chapter 1. He doesn't even know these people. And he's moved by them. He wants to love them. He wants to serve them. Do you sense the stirrings of this kind of gospel? It's not just an abstract gospel. It's a life-changing gospel. It's a powerful gospel. And this is the way in which the gospel changed Paul and made him a servant. And it can change us and make us servants. Do Romans chapter 1 and verses 11 through 13. Just notice the attitudes of love that is equal to servanthood. For I long to see you. Face to face is the idea. I want to be in your presence. That's how much I love you. So that I may impart some spiritual gift to you. I don't want to just give you some small thing. I want to give you the best thing that I know. I want to give some spiritual gift to you. That you may be established. This is why I want to do it. Verse 12. That is, this is an amazing verse. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the man that has received direct revelation from Jesus Christ. Think about how mature he is. He went to seminary with Jesus. And he's speaking this to you, Monica. He's saying that you and I, that I might learn something from you, Monica. This is amazing. This man is just amazing. He just blows me away with how much of Jesus is in him. He says, that is, that I might be encouraged together with you when I spend time with you, while among you. Each of us, and this is the key, by each other's faith. Which comes from the gospel, which comes from Christ, both yours and mine. Verse 13, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you, and I've been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. The gospel is like a fire that ignites your heart with service. And if you know Jesus, you become a servant. That's what Paul is saying. If you know how Jesus has served you, you just can't stop serving other people. And if you watch your heart today, even in this church, and you're somebody that really struggles with serving others, then I just want to say to you, you don't know Jesus. May today be the day that you know Jesus. Because you can't serve others without knowing Jesus. You can serve others maybe for a few minutes, but then they'll hurt you and you'll walk away from them. But people that serve even strangers, even people that hurt them, even people that are sinful, are people that know Jesus. And the only roots for this is the fire of the gospel of faith in Jesus Christ. And this is what causes people to become filled with love. A love that is practical. I've seen this over and over again, and I trust we see this in our church too, that the gospel drives us to get out of our homes and into each other's lives in practical ways. When I was in another church in Pune, I remember this in a very vivid way when Jeremy and Andrea, you remember them, were hit by, their car actually hit a truck when they were driving back from Pune, and they were all injured severely in multiple ways. Both Jeremy and Andrea almost died because their head, their skull was injured severely, and it even caused some brain damage. One of the things that the doctors and the nurses were talking about afterwards was how these white Americans had so many brothers and sisters not wanting to sleep and sit by their side day and night. And they were wondering what moved these people to love these people that were obviously not their kith and kin. And it became opportunity. Some of the doctors came to church because they wanted to know where this love came from. See, that's what Christ does in our lives through the gospel of Jesus Christ. He makes us serve because He has served us. You see, we love because He loved us. Now, this service, this attitude of gospel service, is not abstract, and in this passage it's very practical. And I want to just look at three attitudes that Paul has that helps him to grow in being a servant. And can help us too to grow in being servants to one another. One of the greatest enemies to our church is if we stop serving one another. And if we stop living out Christ with one another. But on the other hand, one of the greatest building blocks and productive things in our church is if we stop thinking just about ourselves, our families, and we start thinking about others, that will make this church bloom and grow and explode with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's my prayer. I think that's the Holy Spirit's intention as we look at this passage. There are three attitudes that help us to grow in gospel service. And the first attitude is that which we find in the first really few words in verse 11. And it's conveyed by this strong emotion. Again, the original language is very important here. When Paul says, "For I long..." Let me just try and explain this a little bit because there's so much emotion here. "For I long..." That word is used most significantly in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. You don't have to look there. "As newborn babes, long, crave spiritual milk." What a picture that is, isn't it? And it's a stronger word than even other words that are used for craving and longing. It's this, you know, good kind of just lusting and hunger and thirst for something that is beneficial. Christian relationships. That's how Paul feels about people that he hasn't even met. He's saying, "I feel like a baby that is just unsatisfied and is going to be just unhappy till I'm with a brother or sister. I can't be by myself and be happy. I have to be around other people of Christ to be happy." Isn't that amazing? Do you feel like that? Because that's exactly opposite to how the world feels. The world says, "I want to get home from work and park my scooter and then lock my gate and then go into my room and turn on the TV and nobody talk to me. Because I just need to focus on myself. And that's where my happiness is found." And unfortunately, some of us, even as Christians, we live like that, don't we? We haven't really embraced and taken a hold of the power of the gospel, which releases us from this kind of emptiness. Because it's totally empty. And to give us a joy that you have never discovered before, that is produced when you start giving yourself to others. You start giving away and you realize in the Christian life you can't give away enough because Jesus just keeps giving back to you. That's what the Bible teaches. You remember Paul is teaching the Corinthian saints even in 1 Corinthians 9. He says one of the great things about giving in the church is God gives more liberally back to you, spiritually and physically. Just try it. Start experiencing it. And the joy of Christ will explode in your life. And I think that's really what Paul is saying. He's saying, "I am just so happy only when I'm giving to others. I long," he says, "to do what? To see you. I long to see you." There's this idea in our modern day and age that we can have relationships without seeing people. And it's a good reminder for us from Scripture that technology, as good as it is not the best way to grow in relationships with each other. Facebook friendships are not Christian friendships, okay? They may be a small part of it, maybe only 0.01%, but don't say you're discipling somebody on Facebook. That's not how Christian friendships work. We're deeper than that. We want to be face to face with each other. We don't want to just send emails to each other and text to each other of encouraging verses. I don't like that, okay? In case you're wondering, I'm deleting all those verses that you're saying. Because I want you to talk to me. and I want to talk to you. Sometimes some of those verses are just something you forwarded from somebody else anyway. You didn't even read it yourself. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just trying to help us to grow in understanding that biblical relationships are much deeper than the kind of technological relationships that we have in this world. And we must stop thinking of those relationships as really deep, because they're not. They actually hurt each other. So much misunderstanding created because we just don't see each other face to face. You look at somebody in the eye and he says, you know, something, and you look at him in the eye and you really understand what he's saying only when you look at him. You can't understand it when you're reading a text message from him. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, I want to learn how to give my life to others. That's the first really driving attitude of gospel service. Paul says, I want to give my life away to others. I don't want to use my life for myself. I want to give my life away. I don't want to use my time for myself. I want to find my happiness in giving myself away for others. Brothers, sisters, do you realize that as a Christian, everything that you have in this world, you're not going to take with you to heaven? You're earning salaries, you're putting them in bank accounts. Jesus is coming, it's all going to go away. And He's going to give you a million times more than what you've earned in this life. And it makes me ask a question: why does Jesus give us things in this world? Not to use for yourself, but to use for His glory. And let's make it even real practical: to use it for others. That your life as a believer, your money as a believer, your time as a believer, your entire, you know, house as a believer, your car, your scooter as a believer, you're not going to take it to heaven. The only reason Jesus has given it to you in this world, He's the giver of all good things, amen? He's given it to you so that you can learn how to love others. And if you haven't learned that, if anything in your life, your TV, your scooter, you say, it's mine, you haven't learned Christ enough. It's not yours. You know? My car isn't mine. There's a song I love. It's by Keith Green. And he says, I pledge my head to heaven. I pledge my child to heaven. I pledge my wife to heaven. I pledge my home to heaven for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I think one of the greatest enemies that we see in the church that blocks service is that we love ourselves too much. And we see in the Apostle Paul a understanding through Jesus Christ in the gospel that even though he was God, very God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he did what? I think that's really the meaning. He emptied himself. Not that he became less in any way, but he learned, in a sense, Paul learned from Jesus how to be like this, to give himself for others. That's what Jesus did. How can we give ourselves for others? You know, do you know how to show affection in verbal, practical ways? Paul speaks of this to the people. He says, I long for you. I love you. He's not afraid to actually communicate and speak of his affection in vivid, real ways. I think that's one of the starting points, even in us learning how to serve one another, is to go and speak to each other, even put your arm around one another and show affection in your words and in your actions. The Bada Maha Apostle Paul didn't hide behind his ministry, but he used to get into one-on-one relationships with people in affectionate ways. That's, I think, one major way to kill yourself. Start learning, you know, how to even on Sunday tell people that you care for them, that you're praying for them, and speak of it. Another way in which we see that Paul shows affection for people is that he spends time with people. He wants to be with them in their presence, right? He wants to be one-on-one with people. You know, I just want to say to you, brothers and sisters, 45 minutes in church on Sunday is not enough for us to learn how to serve one another. Bible studies may be the next step, but it's not enough. And some of you maybe should think about coming to Bible studies, not because I'm a great teacher and you need to be necessarily always learning more about the Word of God, but because you need to be getting into relationships of love and service with other brothers and sisters. That is, in smaller groups, face to face. But Bible studies are not enough. Beyond Bible studies, do we go to each other's homes? Now call people, okay, before you go to their homes. Be practical, be wise. But are we willing to go to each other's homes? Some of the greatest encouragement that I've had is when I've just sat down in some of your homes, and as Paul is going to say later on, I've gone to go minister to some of you, and you have ministered to me. Because Christ is like that, as He works in His people. And one of the ways in which we will grow as a church is if we get out of these boxes of these formal times and we start getting into relationships with each other that are real and in real life and in our homes and outside of Facebook and outside of text, face to face, one on one. Praying with one another. Loving one another. Serving one another. There's no other way to build a relationship except through time and through face to face. That's why Jesus was here for 33 and a half years in building a relationship with sinners such as you and me. Now, as we see Paul giving his life to others and finding his happiness in giving his life to others, we see the reason why he finds such happiness in the gospel and giving his life to others, and it's found in the second attitude in the rest of verse 11, where he says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you what? A spiritual gift. And that's very significant, because sometimes we only think of our serving one another as things that we can give in the spiritual realm, isn't it? In the physical realm. In terms of money. In terms of resources. In terms of the things of this world. And Paul is saying in this verse, and he's trying to challenge us in this verse, that one of the things that we learn in the gospel is that it's good to give people clothes and food and to help them in the things that they have as far as concerns and cares of this world, but if you stop there, you're not really helping them. You're actually hurting them. And we don't want to give them just the trifles of this life, but we want to give them what? The best in this life. And the best in this life is not physical. The best in this life is spiritual. The things of this world will not help somebody go through the trials of life. Money will not help somebody deal with the tragedy of death of a loved one. Spiritual truth will. I remember one time there was a member in our Bible study in Pune, and her mother died in her home. And we all went there as a Bible study group, because we used to meet there as a Bible study. And we were just wondering what we could do, as they were just broken. It was very sudden. It was very unexpected. And she was right there in the home. Well, some of the church members were helping with the ambulance and trying to get some of the practical things. But the rest of us, we gathered together and we got out the songbooks that we used to sing in that home. And I still remember this. It brings tears to my eyes. And we just started singing songs about heaven. As we were doing that, there was just, you know, the calling the ambulance and the offering to deal with the death certificate, it didn't really produce any encouragement in Pauline and Ashutosh's life. But singing songs about heaven with all those scriptural truths, it made them smile as we were carrying the dead body out. It made them smile. See, that's why I want to be like Paul. When I'm serving people, yeah, I want to take care of some practical things, but I want to give them something even better. I want to give them Christ. I want to give them the encouragement of Christ. And in our relationships with each other, are we only talking about the things of this world? Or are we actually getting a little bit beyond that to something better? Because the things of this world, they may make someone laugh. You know, your joke. Or an offer of some money. Or offering to drive them somewhere. Those things may make them happy for a moment, but they won't take them through the real challenges of life like Christ will. And Paul said, you know, I want to find my service rooted in giving myself to others. I want to find my service rooted in giving grace to others. I don't want to only give superficial things to others. I want to give grace. I want to give Christ to others. Brothers and sisters, when we meet together after church, how much are we talking about homes and sickness and practical things, which are on one level, and how much are we talking about Christ, Scripture, your times in the Word, the things that God is teaching you, the things that Christ has shaped you in this week and made you more like Him in this week? How much are we offering each other the greater spiritual blessings of life rather than just temporary things that can only take us for a few minutes? Are we really seeking the best for each other? You see, that's what Paul is saying. And that's why his service was so exciting. Because he said, I know that when I spend time with Christians, I can grow and they can grow eternally. And not just for 5 minutes. That's why I long to see you, he said. And I long to be face to face with you, because there's a spiritual dynamic. There's a Christ-centered dynamic through the conversations that we have with each other. Amen?
Amen.
And one of the ways in which we can do this is, first of all, focusing on Christ. Bring everything that you talk about, whether it's money or whether it's sickness, bring it back to the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, because He is really able in all those things to meet people's needs. Amen? And don't just leave it in the things of this world and in the cares of this world. Bring everything back to Christ. Another way in which we can really be those that grow in grace towards each other is that we would grow in our relationships, not just by thinking we can teach others, but also recognizing that we can learn from others. Even the most immature Christian that you spend time with, he can be a blessing to you. And I think that's one of the reasons why Paul was always so filled with spiritual things, because he wasn't only giving. And this is a challenge for me. He was also receiving, sometimes even from the youngest member of the church. Are you somebody that as you enter into your relationships, you're just thinking, all that I am is just somebody that can offer people Scripture and wisdom, and I can't learn anything from anybody else? Well, stop talking to people then until you learn how to learn. And you learn that sufficiency is not in you, but sufficiency is in Christ. I was struck by this week. I was teaching the first year students, okay? The dumbest students in PTs. No, I'm just kidding. Just joking. You know I love you. And so I'm teaching them the book of Colossians, which I've preached through 3 times already. I'm so smart. And so I'm working with them on the theme of Colossians. And we had some discussion about what the theme of Colossians was. And they came up with a better theme in 15 minutes than I had done through 3 years of preaching through it. And I told them, I'm changing my notes. My notes are not as good as what the Holy Spirit has taught me just through spending 15 minutes with 8 of you men. I was convicted by that lesson all day. And then I was looking at this passage and thinking, you know what? Because the sufficiency, the grace that comes to us in our Christian relationships doesn't come from my wisdom. God, thank you for teaching me that again. That makes me better servant with other people when I'm not prideful and I think that everything just comes from me. Sometimes my kids teach me things and they're not even saved. Because God wants to remind me again and again that as I serve other people, I must always be willing to not just give, but to also receive and to also learn. That keeps you growing in grace. Some of you are not able to get into relationships with anybody in this church. And let me tell you the dirty secret that you don't know. It's because you don't want to learn anything from anybody else. And that's why nobody wants to spend time with you. Nobody wants to learn from you because you can't learn yourself. And the reason why Paul was such a great teacher of the Word of God was because he used to learn even from the youngest Christian in the church. What an amazing man of God he was. This is what it means to be a man of God, okay? Not somebody that's prideful, but somebody that will allow even the youngest person in the church to come to him and say, "Sammy, you said a scripture reference wrong this morning." And I'll say, "Did I? You know? Yeah, I'm sure I did. I know I do that all the time. Because only Christ is sufficient." And in all our relationships, we always want to grow in grace and not in men. We always want to grow in Christ and not in ourselves. Amen. And that makes us love getting together with each other, doesn't it? It makes us love wanting to spend time with each other. It kills pride, which is the greatest enemy of our times with each other. And that's why Paul was so sweet to be with. Even after so many years of ministry, he was a sweet man to be with. Are you a sweet person to be with? Because you're humble? See how practical servanthood is? Paul always wanted to give his life to others. Paul always wanted to grow in grace towards others. And then thirdly and finally, Paul was always gripped with the souls of others. Paul was always gripped with the souls of others. And this ultimately takes us into missions. And everything we do is driven by missions. We look just briefly at verse 13. What a great passage this is. You know, I did promise you, and I want to tell you, you know, I'm still thinking about this. When I was preaching, initially making my plan to preach through Romans, that I'm going to take big sections. And I still think I am. I don't want to spend 50 years in Romans. But I got stuck in chapter 1. Because, I'm just being honest with you, I was just so surprised at the power of the gospel in chapter 1 that I didn't notice, because I always like to jump to chapter 3. And I do want to jump to chapter 3 eventually and talk about Jesus Christ. But I am so shocked and surprised by the potency and the practicality of the power and the fruitfulness of the gospel in chapter 1. And I'm just confessing to you, I never saw it before. And I think that's the roots of why he says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's powerful. It actually works, people. It actually changes a person like me and makes him a servant of Jesus Christ. It's a great gospel. I love it. Because there's no sinner that is so hard that he cannot become a sweet man like Paul." Can you think about who Paul... Paul was this guy that used to want to cut Christians' throats, and now he's loving them. What an amazing gospel this is. He used to drag people, he used to say in the book of Acts, literally out of their homes and stone them outside their homes. These same people now he is in love with. You know, you're looking at some person maybe in the church, "I can never love them." Well, God can make you love them. You just need to submit to Him. Stop living by your own power. Live by the power of the gospel. Give yourself away. Find your happiness in that. And secondly, make sure that you are filled with grace and you're growing in grace. Focusing on Christ and focusing on learning from others. And finally, be gripped with souls for Christ. Verse 13. "I do not want you to be unaware, brethren." By the way, this is a formula that Paul uses. And this is very interesting. It's a minor point, but I think it does have some significance. About 5 times in the Gospels, when he's saying something that is really crucial or key, he uses this phrase, "I do not want you to be unaware." For instance, in 1 Thessalonians 2, I think it's verse 13, "I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, so that you do not grieve as those who have no hope." It's a formula that Paul uses to talk about something that is key, that is crucial, that is central in his thinking and in his ministry. And as he's thinking about what is key and what is crucial and what is central in him being a servant, he says it's this. "It's my desire to be with you." Why? "So that I may reap fruit Now, when it's talking about fruit here, it's not talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? It's talking about fruit in terms of lost souls. In terms of sinners who don't know Christ coming to know Christ. And Paul says, all of this service, all of this love, all of this ministry in the church ultimately is oriented around this one fact that Mr. Furtado, living across the road there, who I've talked to 2 or 3 times, I don't know if he's getting out of his car right now, that he gets saved. You know? This used to happen all the time. I remember when I was in a church in Pune, people used to watch us from their homes. And Mr. Furtado even spoke to me last week. He said, you guys aren't crazy like some of those other groups that just make a lot of noise and wake us up in the morning. What's wrong? Do you sing? I said, oh yeah, we sing. Why don't you come in and hear us sing? And he's curious about what's going on. We used to have people in Pune that used to come down from their balconies because they heard us singing. They saw us serving. They saw us loving one another in church. And some of them came to know Jesus Christ. And Paul said the reason why we do everything that we do is not just so we can have fellowship, because we can have fellowship in heaven. The reason why we're here is to be a model of how sweet heaven is, so that some more souls that don't know Christ yet may come into this fellowship. That's why I love you guys. That's why I love the church. Because there's no other hope under heaven for sinners than this gospel. And it needs to be seen in the way in which Christians live and interact with each other. That's why the church is here on this street, on the main road, with windows where people can see inside. And that's why you live not in communes and caves and monasteries, but you live in Panjim and you live in Vasco and you live in wherever else. Okay? I hope none of you live in caves. We're in this world so that we can live in love towards each other, so that people may see that and say, we want to know Christ. That's the only reason why Paul said the church is here. Isn't that amazing? That's why he loves the church. And this is the power of the gospel. This used to happen to us, I remember, in Pune. Our Muslim neighbor came over to our house one time, and she spoke to Nicole. Muslims, very hard to share the gospel with. And she spoke to Nicole and she said, you know, I want to know what this magic is that you use that enables your kids to listen to you. Because I just have one son and he never listens to me. And she's just observing relationships in our family. And then she came into the house, and that day, by the grace of God, I was doing the dishes. I don't always do the dishes. She said, your husband does the dishes? You know, it's, and that's only the grace of God. I don't take credit for it, because I'm a very selfish person. I need to do the dishes more. But
amen.
We learn from each other. So, the grace of God exists in our lives and in our relationship with others in a very powerful way, so that people may see it and come to Christ. That's why Paul said, I long for you people. I long to serve you people. I long to be served by you people. So that in the capital, in Delhi, more may know the name of the Son and submit to the Son. People will learn more about Jesus from the way in which you love. How do you love? How are we doing in love? This week, who are you going to love? And how are you going to love them? Outside of your home, outside of your family, and experience a joy that comes from the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for how powerful your gospel is. It's not our gospel, it's the gospel of Christ, and it's empowered by the Spirit as it works in our hearts and changes us from ourselves and enables us to be more other-centered. And we want to have this power, Lord, this sufficiency more and more in our relationships with one another. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. Help us to serve one another. Help us to give ourselves to each other so that others may see and know a Jesus who is real and who is powerful. We pray for your glory and in your name. Amen.
Amen.